Passover to Pentecost, Daily Devotionals, 4 days until Passover, written by Chantelle MacDonald. John 12. 6 days before the Passover celebration began, Jesus arrived in Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man he had raised from the dead. A dinner was prepared in Jesus' honour. Martha served, and Lazarus was among those who ate with him. Then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume, made from essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it. Wiping his feet with her hair, the house was filled with the fragrance. But Judas Iscariot, the disciple who would soon betray Jesus, said, "That perfume was worth a year's wage. It should have been sold and the money given to the poor." Not that he cared for the poor. He was a thief, and since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he often stole for himself. Jesus replied, "Leave her alone. She did this in preparation for my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." When all the people heard of Jesus' arrival, they flocked to see him, and also to see Lazarus, the man Jesus had raised from the dead. Then the leading priests decided to kill Lazarus too, for it was because of him that many of the people had deserted them and believed in Jesus. The next day, the news that Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem swept through the city. A large crowd of Passover visitors took palm branches and went down to the road to meet him. They shouted, "Praise God! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hail to the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and rode on it, fulfilling the prophecy that said, "Don't be afraid, people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming, riding on a donkey colt." His disciples didn't understand at the time that this was a fulfillment of prophecy. But after Jesus entered into his glory, they remembered what had happened and realized that these things had been written about him. Many in the crowd said, "Jesus called Lazarus from the tomb, raising him from the dead," and they were telling others about it. That was the reason so many went out to meet him, because they had heard about this miraculous sign. Then the Pharisees said to each other, "There's nothing we can do. Look, everyone has gone after him." Some Greeks who had come to Jerusalem for the Passover festival paid a visit to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee. They said, "Sir, we want to meet Jesus." Philip told Andrew about it, and they went together to ask Jesus. Jesus replied, "Now the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory. I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. Those who love their life in this world will lose it. Those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. Anyone who wants to serve me must follow me, because my servants must be where I am. And the Father will honour anyone who serves me. Now my soul is deeply troubled. Should I pray, Father, save me from this hour? But this is the very reason I came. Father, bring glory to your name." Then a voice spoke from heaven, saying, "I have already brought glory to my name, and I will do so again." When the crowd heard the voice, some thought it was thunder, while others declared an angel had spoken to him. Then Jesus told them, "The voice was for your benefit, not mine. The time for judging this world has come, when Satan, the ruler of this world, will be cast out. And when I am lifted up from heaven, I will draw everyone to myself." He said this to indicate how he was going to die. The crowd responded, We understood from Scripture that the Messiah would live forever. How can you say the Son of Man will die? Just who is this Son of Man anyway? Jesus replied, My light will shine for you just a little longer. Walk in the light while you can, so the darkness will not overtake you. Those who walk in darkness cannot see where they are going. Put your trust in the light while there is still time. Then you will become children of the light. After saying these things, Jesus went away and was hidden from them. But despite all the miraculous signs Jesus had done, most of the people still did not believe in him. This is exactly what Isaiah the prophet had predicted. Lord, who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? But the people couldn't believe, for as Isaiah also said, the Lord has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, so that their eyes cannot see and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and have me heal them. Isaiah was referring to Jesus when he said this, because he saw the future and spoke of the Messiah's glory. Many people did believe in him, however, including some of the Jewish leaders, but they wouldn't admit it for fear that the Pharisees would expel them from the synagogue, for they loved human praise more than the praise of God. Jesus shouted to the crowds, If you trust me, you are trusting not only me, but also God who sent me. For when you see me, you are seeing the one who sent me. I have come as a light to shine in this dark world, so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark. I'll not judge those who hear me but don't obey me, for I have come to save the world and not to judge it. But all who reject me and my message will be judged on the day of judgment by the truth I have spoken. I don't speak in my own authority. The Father who sent me has commanded me what to say and how to say it. And I know this command leads to eternal life. So I say whatever the Father tells me to say. 4 days before the Passover, Nisan 10, the Jewish people were instructed to choose their Passover lambs. They were inspected for any defects and carefully cared for to ensure they would be perfect sacrifice for Passover. It was at this time that Jesus was anointed by Mary at Bethany, an act of symbolically marked Jesus as chosen. Over the next few days, Jesus was interrogated in Jerusalem by the Pharisees and Sadducees, as if he himself was being inspected and proven to be the perfect before his own sacrifice on the cross. The Passover lamb was indeed Christ, the Lamb of God, sacrificed to take away the sins of the world. 1 Corinthians 5:7 and John 1:29. It was this lamb, Jesus her Saviour, on whom Mary poured out her affection. Full of overwhelming gratitude for the freedom, healing, resurrection, and love she had experienced and seen, Mary came into the room that night with deliberate intent. Mary understood that time was short. Jesus had spoken a number of times about his imminent and necessary death, and she wanted to lavish her love on her beloved Saviour and King while she still had a chance. Her love took her past the polite customs of the day, past the critical eyes of men, past caring for her own reputation. Nothing would deter her from radical worship. No harsh words or criticisms, no financial expense. Mary didn't care about her own reputation, but only about Jesus' exaltation. Mary understood who Jesus was and what he was doing. She brought him the greatest gift she could offer in response, She bought him an oil used by people of high class and royalty, anointing him as her king. She poured on him an oil used for preparing bodies for burial, using the symbol of her own glory, her hair, as a rag. She extravagantly gave a gift worth a whole year's income, perhaps representing her life's hopes and dreams from what could have been her inheritance or bridal dowry. The fragrance of the perfume would have clung to Jesus' skin for days. Whenever he walked, the fragrance of Mary's worship was tangible to those around him. No doubt it brought Jesus himself comfort as he neared his hour of suffering. Mary's gift became a first fruits offering of worship, a promise of devotion and love that he would receive from his people in the generations to come. Mary had spent many hours sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his words, seeing him move and act. Now she spent her final moments with him, expressing her love and worship. This was not a waste. This was extravagant love to an extravagant God who is worthy of everything. Prayer. Beautiful Saviour, you are worthy of all honour and worship. Forgive me for the times I have valued my own reputation, my time, my money, myself, more than you. I pause now to remember all the times you have been so lovingly gracious and merciful to me. Thank you for your kindness. Help me to be like Mary, sitting at your feet and listening to your words, considering everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Philippians 3:8. You are worthy, my King, my God, of all I am and all I have. My life, my worship is yours. Amen.